So much of our faith is built on hopes and dreams, and it's also built on signs and miracles. A newborn child, a recovery from illness, answers to prayer, and recognizing we have in spades who and what we need. We all go through the valleys of the shadows of death and the radically uncertain moments in our lives. But so much about a faithful life is about showing up and practicing, often in quiet and ordinary ways, believing in the power of hope, of prayer, of love, trusting in God and that kingdom that at some point, and many points hopefully thereafter, we learn is inside us. It's also found when we're bearing one another's burdens and committing to the ways of life that bring communities of people together. The wedding at Cana sets the stage to bring all these pieces of a faithful life together. Jesus is just back from the wilderness in his baptism, and he's in the light of a celebration mode. He's with his family, and he's with his friends. And everyone there got to see the joining together of two people in love. And now, everyone's having such a good time that I like to believe that's the reason that they've run out of wine. Thanks to a divine nudge and a loving demand from his mother, Jesus performs his first miracle, transforming ordinary water into wedding wine. By this first miracle, I think Jesus is showing us an easier way to love. Surrounded by family and friends on a joyous occasion like this, we're happy when two people fall in love and commit their lives to one another. That gives us hope no matter what might be going on in our own lives. Preaching last year at the royal wedding, Presiding Bishop Michael Curry quoted Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, "We must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world, for love is the only way." When Dr. King first met his wife, Coretta Scott, they were students in Boston. She was a grad student at the New England Conservatory of Music, and King was a minister working on his doctorate at Boston University. Both talked openly about how they felt in their young hearts. They wanted to make a contribution to serve others, and they knew there would be other ways they had yet to discover that they'd be able to do that. And on their first date, Dr. King told Scott she had everything he wanted in a wife: character, intelligence, personality, and beauty. It took Scott a few more dates to convince her, King, that King was the one she wanted for a husband, that what she wanted was a deep faith, integrity, and a drive for social change. Because not long before coming to Boston and before she'd gone away to college, she'd been on her family's farm in the Deep South, milking cows and picking cotton. But after 2 years of dating, the couple married on the lawn of her family's home. That day was the first time their families had met. And along with their family and friends and members of their church communities, this wedding ended up being the biggest one that had ever happened in her hometown. When love connects us to one another, its power can become way bigger than ourselves. The wedding at Cana, like most weddings, sets a stage and offers us new possibilities of seeing and experiencing love. And sometimes then we do get that glimpse of the kingdom of God. In the years that soon followed after their marriage, the king shared prophetic visions of God's kingdom. Both of them led sacrificial and loving lives. And when Dr. King landed on the world stage as he marched and led the civil rights movement, he did this while following a kind of rule of life, a set of practices that he shared with others. They were: pray daily to be used by God, seek justice and reconciliation, not victory, always walk and talk in a manner of love because God is love, sacrifice personal wishes so that all might be free, perform services for others and for the world, refrain from violence of the fist and violence of the spirit, and take care of one's physical and spiritual health. But the first thing on his list of practices that he repeated over and over again was this: as you prepare to march, meditate on the life and teachings of Jesus. So what if we set an intention each day to connect with something that Jesus said or did? When we feed our families or friends at community supper, can we hear Jesus say to us, "Fill the jars with water"? When we are struggling with illness or grief, can we hear Jesus say to us, "Do not be afraid. I am with you always"? And when we travel to Cuba or to Lewiston, Maine to do our outreach projects, can we hear Jesus say, "Preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns because that was why I was sent"? As Jesus' ministry unfolds, his life and teachings become more inspired. We see him using ordinary water for other miracles as well, using his spit and dirt to transform blindness into sight, using choppy waters to walk on waters, and using well water and transforming it into living water. In his painting depicting the wedding at Cana, African artist V. de Jesus Mafa offers a colorful image of this happy event. I like it for its bright colors and its playfulness for the children, the animals, and the adults that are depicted in their finery. But what I really love about this painting is that it speaks to me. And having the St. John's Bible here at St. Luke's is teaching me how art can do that, that I can use the eyes of my heart and then the ears of my heart to listen and see what the Bible is saying to me. And more specifically, in Mafa's painting, there's a collection of water jugs, and there's one right in the center of the picture that's tipped over on its side to indicate that it's empty. That jug invites me to consider what it would be like to be that jug, to be a container that God fills with something that could be miraculous or life-giving to offer to others. And how great to think of all of us as an empty jug, waiting for God to fill us each and every day with love of the kind that's needed, whatever the circumstance. And then maybe we can hear Jesus saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." The source of that living water is love. It's God's love. Love that connects and transforms individuals and communities who marry, who march, who weep, and who dream. Sometimes it's really hard to be faithful. And if we read the news or pay attention to church statistics, congregations today are considered countercultural as social ties weaken and communities are fragmenting. And yet, all of us at St. Luke's make up a strong community. We are a blessed container of people who actively seek to bear one another's burdens and commit to some common life of service. Our mission is in many ways about what poet Mary Oliver, who died this past week, described in one of her essays. She wrote, "There exists 1,000 unbreakable links between each of us and everything else, and that our dignity and our chances are one. The farthest star and the mud at our feet are family. And there is not decency or sense in honoring one thing or a few things, and then closing the list. We are at risk together, or we are on our way to a sustainable world together. We are each other's destiny." In the end, maybe this is the real treasure we have in these earthen vessels of ours. Dr. King certainly thought so. And if Jesus can transform ordinary wine into wedding wine, just maybe we can believe him when we hear these prophetic biblical words, "For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light." May it be so. Amen.